Well, good morning, friends, and happy Monday to you. I pray that you had an amazing weekend enjoyed some good time with friends and family, and hopefully you worship the Lord in the house of God, wherever you are in the world. I know here at Hope City Church, Brian Willison brought an excellent message about waiting on the Lord that I know stirred and encouraged people who've maybe been in that season of waiting. But man, it's so good to be back with you during our lives. We had a great week of teaching last week. And of course, on top of that, our family went camping last week for a few days and had a great time doing that. But it was all good, but I'm glad to be back in the studios and keeping this rolling and keep bringing teaching and encouraging one another. So if you are watching on a platform that you can like, comment, subscribe, share, whatever, please do that. I know most of our viewers are watching on the Pioneer channel and cannot, but if you're on a platform that you can do that, please do that. It helps us take this message further, and we always appreciate that. We call it being a digital missionary. So let me know where you're watching from. Comment, like, share. So yesterday, as I told you, Pastor Brian Willison at Hope City had talked about waiting and how we don't always like those seasons of waiting. And as he was ministering on that, I was also that yesterday thinking about what do we want to talk about this week. And it kind of just triggered something in me is, you know, one of the things about waiting is you just don't have a choice. Typically, you just don't have a choice in waiting. If God decides you have to wait, then you just have to wait. And as we know from Bible stories and life stories, anytime you try to move in front of God and bypass the waiting, it always equals in disaster. So when God says wait, you just have to wait. As I was thinking about that yesterday, I just thought, you know how there's just sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it other than waiting. And so I was pondering that yesterday and chewing on that. And I felt like I wanted to kind of hit this theme this week of controlling our emotions and fixing our attitudes is where I think I want to hang out this week. Because as Pastor Brian was talking about yesterday of waiting, you know, we will all have circumstances in our life. And whether it's waiting or whether it's bad news or whether it's, you know, somebody persecuting us or whatever it looks like in our world, there are some things that we just can't fix on our own. And without divine heaven intervention, we simply have to trust God, right? But often in that waiting or in that trusting season or in that turning it over to the Lord time, we're doing it begrudgingly. And so for the last few months, our youngest Bob has been on this hitting spree. Now he has three older siblings, and as the youngest of five, I get it. You know, he's got to fend for himself. He's got some stronger voices over him. And so he's learning to stand up and fend for himself. But yesterday, I should have pulled the pictures for it. Sarah sent them to me, but Loretta was going down the slide and Bob decided he wanted to come down afterwards, and she wasn't fully off the slide. So they kind of did a whole collision at the bottom of the slide. And instead of waiting for her to get up, he just takes his feet and kicks her right in the back. And of course she's on the ground. And I've been trying to teach him, you know, apologize, you know, take responsibility, apologize for what you've done. And, you know, if you've had kids, you get it. And the apology is like, sorry, and walks over and hits her again. And so if you've had kids, you know those type of apologies where it's a sorry, but it's not spoken in a great way. And so when I saw that yesterday, I thought about that. And I thought, you know, that is so sometimes how we respond to different seasons of life, where it challenges our attitude, it challenges our emotions, it challenges, you know, what we want and expect from God. And sometimes it's like, fine, God, I'll wait, or find God, I'll say sorry, find God. But the attitude in the whole thing is completely wrong, right? And so even though we did what he said to do, we've done it with the wrong attitude. And how many of you know, it's sometimes it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. It's about the tone. It's about the sincerity of heart. Like, you know, again, somebody can apologize to you and, you know that don't mean nothing to them. Why? Because you can just tell by the tone, by the sincerity of heart, how they say it, how it comes across, that they're being forced. And I, you know, just sometimes in life when we're going through challenging things, again, whether it's a waiting season, whether it's a physical challenge, whether, you know, whatever it looks like, a financial burden in your life. Sometimes we respond like Bob did on the slide and we say, "Fine, God, I'll trust you." But we're trusting him with the complete wrong attitude, in the wrong tone. And I just don't think it's very fruitful to say, "Fine, I'll wait in this season, but I'm going to throw a temper tantrum about it. Fine, God, I'll trust you simply because I don't have an alternative, but I'm mad," right? Like, so that's why I want to look at this week and kind of, you know, look at, you know, sometimes we can't control what happens to us. But in it all, there is one thing that we can absolutely control, and that is our response to what happens to us. We get mad because we can't control all these external things. Instead of just saying, "You know what? I can't change what they did to me. I can't change what they said about me. That's not even my responsibility to change that," right? I can't change what the report is. I can't change the economy. I can't change a lot of things. But what I can change is my response and my attitude and how I approach this with turning eyes back in on me, right? Like, again, I'm using the illustration of my kids on the slide yesterday. Like, Loretta, you know, in a way was wrong. She stayed at the, you know, when you come down the slide, she just kind of sat there for a minute instead of realizing somebody's coming up after her and getting up and moving. Like, you know, so I'm like, so it's not even that Bob was all that wrong. Like, she stopped in front of him, but his solution was out of emotion and not out of a right spirit, right? So I know he's 3 and we're like 43 and 53 and, you know, 60 and 30, whatever. But sometimes we still want to respond like the 3-year-old, and just with our attitude, with cutting people off. Like, I heard Joyce Meyer yesterday talking about forgiving other people and blessing those who persecute you and doing it good to those who persecute you. Praying for your enemies, but doing good for your enemies. Not just praying. The Bible actually attaches, don't just pray for them, do good to them, right? None of that feels good. None of that feels right. None of that's going to come out of a heart of, you know, life's great and I have a wonderful attitude. No, it's going to be a challenge and it's going to be hard. But I believe for us, many times the testing from the Lord comes in those moments. How will you respond to an enemy? How will you respond to somebody who's coming against you? How do you respond when, you know, somebody's kicked you in the back at the bottom of the slide, you know, and now you're wounded, you're hurt, you're damaged, it's caused problem in your life, whatever, and it's left you wounded. How will you respond to those who have hurt you? I believe for us, that's when the greatest testing comes. But we can't always change how somebody's treated us. We can't always change, you know, what people have done to us, but we can change our attitude. We can control our response. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Hard scripture, right? Because it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when everything's going great, when your friend group is tight, when money's flowing in, when you just wake up on the right side of bed, when you have a positive, you know, circumstances of life and everyone's, no, rejoice in the Lord. You put this little word in there, always, always. So what is he saying? He's saying you can, obviously, you can choose your response. You can choose your attitude. You can choose how you react. You can choose how you navigate the situations of life, right? So an attitude is the lens through which we view life. An attitude is the lens in which we view life. So let me say this, maintaining a positive attitude is not denial of reality, but a faith-filled choice to trust God and see challenges as opportunities, right? Like, you know, sometimes, you know, people hear a teaching like this and they're saying, well, what are you saying that we're just supposed to be a walking mat for everybody? Like somebody kicks us in the back and, you know, or wounds us in life and we're just supposed to throw open our hearts and our lives and let them do whatever they want. Absolutely not. I'd also believe in the old adage that when someone shows you who they are, believe them, right? Like if they're showing you who they are, just simply believe in what they're telling you. And one of the greatest things you can learn in life is to set healthy boundaries. My mama used to say that as I love you, but I'll love you from afar. Like for me to maintain my love walk with some people, I got to love them from a distance. They're drama. I can't bring that into my life. I don't have space for that in my life. They're always pulling you down. You know, they have unhealthy patterns. Like if you're even just talking about an addict who's on the road to recovery, they tell them, get out from where your familiarity. Don't go back to the same town where, you know where your dealer is and, you know, like break the scenery. Why? Get away from those things that pull you in. So sometimes, yes, people in our lives, we got to say, listen, I got to break camp with you. Can't do life with you anymore. I can't maintain this with you anymore. And sometimes when people are wounding, what we're not to do is to lay down and be a doormat and let people walk all over us and let them do whatever they want to our lives, leave whatever carnage they want in, you know, wake of their destructive path, right? But what we are to do is put up healthy boundaries, know what that looks like, be very clear about that, but choose the attitude in which we respond. God may be calling you to draw some hard lines around some situations in your life. But if you're like me and, you know, there's that moment of anger, like I'm pretty easy to get with. And then there's just that breaking point for me. And it's like, all right, we're done. We're just completely done. But what happens for me anyway, is now I'm drawing the lines that God probably wanted me to draw 3 months ago. But now I'm doing it out of wrath and with a bad attitude and out of anger, and I'm cutting people off. Instead of 3 months ago with the right attitude and a right spirit, putting healthy boundaries in place, having healthy conversations. You are following me today? So we can't choose what happens to us, but we can always choose our response. But maintaining a positive attitude is not the denial of reality. It's not just saying, I'm going to let people do whatever they want to me, you know, take advantage of me, but it's a faith build choice to trust God and see challenges as opportunities. Like, God, you know, maybe they cheated me in the business deal. All right. Maybe there's nothing I can tangibly do to fix that right now, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to maintain a positive attitude. I'm not going to fall into strife, into bitterness. I'm not going to fall into resentment. I'm going to choose this as an opportunity to trust God, to pray for my enemies, to maintain a right heart, to maintain a right spirit, and trust that God will turn it all for my good and all in my favor. That's maintaining a positive attitude, not saying, well, hey, I'm not going to acknowledge that or look at that because, well, that's just not being positive. No, I'm going to acknowledge what's going on. I'm going to put up the boundaries that I need. I'm going to learn the lessons that maybe led me down the path, like, right, like maybe it was a bad business deal. I was reading an article about somebody who had a few failed businesses, and it was kind of a expose on self-evaluation. And the author of it was given the story of somebody who had several failed businesses, and they, you know, kept putting it on, well, you know, the lease deal fell through with this guy over here, and he didn't give us what they promised, and this one over here didn't, you know, meet up to their end. And it was just, again, everybody else. And never stopping to say, you know what, maybe not everybody did hold up their end of the bargain, but still the burden falls on your shoulders, because the lesson that you should have learned after time one is let's sit down with a contract. Let's make sure that every I is dotted and T is crossed. Let's make sure that this thing is clear. We all know what we're supposed to do. Here's what happens if the contract is breached. You know, instead of learning and say, hey, listen, I've been down this road before. And I know sometimes in this day and age, a friendly handshake doesn't mean nothing. I know you gave me your word, but let's put that in paper, right? Like, so the lesson for that person was, you know, maybe not everybody did you right, but you had an opportunity to grow in the failure of the first business, but you didn't, right? And you just kind of kept the wheel spinning and, you know, never learned and grew in that. And now you keep repeating the same cycle over and over again. So every challenge can be an opportunity for us to say, all right, God, where was I wrong? What was my piece here? How can I grow out of this? But above all, help me maintain a right attitude. Help me maintain in a right attitude. So attitude is a choice. Listen, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And it says, therefore, choose life. Like if we could choose life or death, blessing and cursing, don't tell me we can't choose our attitude. Don't tell me that, well, you know, that's just how I feel and it is what it is. It's just, you know, I'm living by what I feel. Well, good luck on that, right? We were never called to live by how we feel. We were called to live based off of the word of God and based off of how we are called to respond. So never fall under this lie and deception. It's just because you feel something that you have to partake. Just because I feel angry doesn't mean I need to act angry, right? Just because I feel wrath doesn't need to mean I have to respond in wrath, right? It's just because like sometimes you feel like going into your job and telling everybody off and telling your boss that you quit and you're out. You don't do it. Why? Because you need a paycheck on Friday, right? Now carry that over to your faith. Sometimes you feel like doubting. Sometimes you feel discouraged. Sometimes you feel like you don't know where God is. Sometimes it feels like waiting is hard. Sometimes keeping a right spirit is hard. And we just say, well, you know, that's, you know, it's not my paycheck, so I'm just going to do what I want. Well, no, it is. Why? Because the Bible says, if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. What am I saying? Is God's ability to forgive you is tied directly to your ability to forgive other people. So if you can't maintain a right attitude, trust me, you probably can't maintain a good forgiveness aspect to your Christian walk. And a lot of times, man, we just live such messy lives. And then get frustrated and we're like, God, where are you in the mix? Listen, I know life gets messy, but sometimes we make life messy. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do in your life is declutter, simplify your schedule, and spend the bulk of your energy keeping a right spirit and a right attitude, focusing in on you. Man, that'll free so many people up. Free so many people up. Why? Because you've been working overtime, trying to get them to see they're wrong, trying to get them to understand why stabbing you in the back was wrong and how it hurt and blah, 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 right? Instead of just pausing and saying, well, that's between them and God. I'm not their savior. I'm not their judge. I'm accountable for me. The Lord in this, help me. Like I think of even, the Israelites, at one point, they had made a covenant, and the people they had made a covenant with didn't hold up their end of the bargain and were kind of deceptive in it. But Israel maintained their agreement. They maintained their covenant. And man, how many of us would do that today? You knew, like, somebody falsely got you into an agreement. Like, man, I'd do anything I could do to sue my way out of it and tell you off and tell you something. But man, the Israelites were like, no, we gave our word. We gave covenant. It's not what they realized. It's not about them. They're covenant breakers. But just because they're covenant breakers, I'm not going to allow their messy life, their messy attitudes, their messy covenant signings to bring me down to their level and cause me to be a covenant breaker. Why? Because had Israel broken that covenant, they would have been no different than their covenant breaker friends, right? And you might say, well, they would have been justified. They were, no. They understood they made covenant. They wanted to be known as people of their word. They wanted to be known as people of worth, that when somebody came into covenant, come hell, come high water, come whatever, they were holding their ground. They were holding that covenant. And what I'm saying is sometimes people work overtime to get you down to their level. Why? Because when you're operating in a more excellent level of life, when, you know, somebody comes to you and says, hey, did you hear about fill in the blank, and wants to gossip, and you're just like, hey, I don't know nothing about that, but let's just pray for him and bless him in Jesus' name, because that's scriptural, right? We're not supposed to gossip. We're not supposed to, you know, talk behind people's back. If you can't say it in front of their face, you shouldn't say it about them at all. You know, supposed to maintain that level of living. And, you know, when people come to you and they, you know, you kind of just put up, hey, like, I'm not the one. Like, oftentimes as a pastor, people will come in and say, hey, well, I'm upset, you know, so-and-so did this, and here's what I've heard about them, especially the, oh, I've heard. My normal response is, all right, well, let me set a meeting and get them to come in so that we can talk about this with them. 99.9% of the time, well, no, Pastor, I don't think we need all that. I just wanted to let you know. Well, so no, you, so the heart of the matter is you didn't want to address it with them. You just, A, wanted to get them in trouble, or you wanted to gossip about them and spread rumors, right? So typically, if you know you have somebody at your job that's like that, you just say, hey, I don't know much about that, but why don't we go at lunch, go have a conversation with them and find out. You'll find out how quick people back up from gossiping. But well, often what happens is it shines, your right living will shine a spotlight on people's wrong living, and they don't like that. So their goal is, I got to bring them down to me. Instead of me coming up to them, let me bring them down to me. Because I'm a covenant breaker, let me make them covenant breakers. Then I can feel better about myself. Because I'm a gossiper, let me make them a gossiper. Then I can feel better about myself, right? Because I can't forgive, let me help other, you know, let me help my friend. Man, you don't need to forgive them. They're not right in that. You know, you need to make them pay. What am I really doing? I'm trying to get them to live in the same lowness of life that I'm living in by making them an unforgiver. Why? Because it's not really about you. It's about them trying to bring you down to where they are. Why? Because if you respond and say, you know what? It's going to be the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but I feel like I have to forgive them. I feel like I have to make this right. It's going to shine a spotlight directly on every decision that they have made to not forgive, to hold a grudge, to be stuck where they are. So just understand that. Attitude is choice. And everything you do, you have a choice. We are responsible for our attitude. We are responsible for our response. No one can make us negative. Now, some people certainly try. You put yourself around the wrong people sometimes, and sometimes it feels like people are working overtime to make me negative today, right? But there, you know, there's that old quote that says, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% about how you respond to it. 90% about how you respond to it. I saw a clip of this show the other day, and you know, it's an extreme example of this, but it was of a child who had started to go blind, and the mother obviously was distraught and broken over this, but she saw her child distraught and broken and not leaving the room. And she knew what she had to do, and she pulled up some grit from the inside of her and came into that room and said, get up. And the kid's like, what are you talking about? Said, get up. You're not staying in this bed. And he, you know, starts saying, I can't see, you know, I'll never see again. Just let me alone. She said, no, come on, we're going to do this. And she forced him to get up and deal with his hands, you know, and learn how to live despite his circumstance. And at the end of it, you know, it was a feel-good show, right? The end of it, you know, he comes and, you know, so thankful on how the mother didn't just stay in the lowlands, in the pity party, in the sorrow of the circumstance that happened, but said, no, you're getting up. Maybe we can't change this. We're going to trust God, but until he does something, we're going to maintain a right attitude. We're going to rejoice in every season, and we're going to fight and honor God the best we can in this, right? I know that's an extreme example, but listen, maybe you don't have enough money to pay your bills by the end of the week. Nothing you can do about that other than make sure you're saving and pinching pennies where you can. But you're trusting God. But if God can use that, or Satan can use that, excuse me, to cause you to have a terrible week, to be mean to everybody, you don't know what I'm going through, you don't know what I'm walking through, you don't know. I mean, like, that's all we see on Facebook, right? Social media. You know, oh, you don't know what I'm going through. It's, you know, like, I saw somebody the other day, they were posting about somebody coming against them because of some decision they made or a medicine for their kids. And I just said to Sarah, I said, what are they talking about? Like, nobody's coming after them. Like, I don't, without them posting on Facebook the decision they made about their kids and what to give them, nobody would even know. So, like, you literally put on Facebook your parenting decisions just for people to comment on it so that you can repost and play victim and say, you know, do you understand? Because a lot of people, they just like to feel validated in the attack, in the chaos, right? But that's not how we're going to respond. We are children of God. We trust God, right? So we never bring ourselves low. We never bow ourselves low. We never allow things and people to determine where we're going in life. But our attitude determines our altitude. Attitudes are like muscles. They grow through patience. So what do we got to do? We got to decide in advance to trust God, that when storms come, we won't crumble. Look at Joseph's life. He learned to trust God before the pit and in prison and outside of prison. In good seasons, cultivate gratitude and positive confessions. Learn to control your emotions. Learn to control. It'll help you more than almost any other thing. Learn to control your emotions. Why? A complaining heart stops the flow of blessings, but a thankful heart opens the door to God's favor. Today, I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what the chaos is. I don't know what unexpected challenges that maybe you have faced or are facing or will face this week. You have a choice today. You have a choice. No one can make you miserable. Nobody can make you angry. Nobody can put you in a bad mood. Get up and look at yourself in the mirror and say, listen, make the right choice here. Make the right choice. And you may have to say that to yourself 50 times throughout the day, right? 50 times throughout the day is make the right choice here. I control my attitude. I control my response. So really quickly, before we get off, let me give you some practical steps to maintaining positivity, maintaining that positive outlook, controlling our emotions. Number one, daily intake God's word. Read and declare scripture. And man, I could give you the scientific proof of studies that they have done that when people spend time in the word of God every day, addictions fall off, pornography becomes less attract, like they've done these studies that, like, just people who read the Bible daily, their lives are completely different. Why? The word of God, David said, I hid your word in my heart that I would not sin. The word of God is the medicine. It's the antidote. It's what we turn to. It's what makes the difference. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the power that we need in our life to overcome the evil one. So when we're tempted, if we've got the word in us, it's going to make the difference. If we don't have the word in us, we're going to fall back to old patterns. We're going to fall back into what other people have said about us or have declared about us or, you know, whatever. So we intake the word of God daily. We guard our thoughts. We replace negative self-talk with God's promises. Again, you don't know the promises if you're not in the word. It's easy, you know, when we go into a restaurant, I said this before, but go into a restaurant, I don't have to think about, we were somewhere the other day and, pretty much know all of our drink orders, right? Like what everybody was going to want. And, you know, we pull up and the waiter, you know, the waiter's like, well, what can I get you to drink? And real quick, I can go around the table. Here's what everybody's going to have. Or like, we always have this thing Saturdays. We, a lot of times we go to Dunkin' Donuts with the kids and get donuts and we go on a little morning drive. But that 2 minutes pulling up, everyone's screaming of the different kind of donuts. So we have gotten to this thing. I know, like we had to stop the car and say, listen, I know what kind of donut you want. You do not need to tell me anymore, right? Why? Because the more time you spend with people, the more you get to know them. I get to know what they want to drink. I know what, you know, Judy's going to want a pink one with sprinkles. Loretta's going to say she's going to want a chocolate, but she's eventually going to change over to sprinkles. Jeremiah's going to want, you know, you just know because you spend time with people, right? The more time you spend in God's word, the struggle to know, is this right thinking? Is this wrong thinking? It's just going to become more relevant to you. Why? Because you've learned his character. You know who he is. Number three, surround yourself with positive people. Just as, you know, when COVID and all that happened, people were like, hey, back up, 6 feet, mask. You know, the whole thing. Sometimes we got to be that way with negative people. Negative environments breed negative attitudes. Like, listen, I'll come back when you fix yourself, but I can't go there today. Surround yourself with positive people and serve others. Helping others, that's number four. Helping others shifts focus from our problems to our purpose. Yeah, you can walk around all day long thinking about your problem, and that's a problem. This is going to be a problem. This is all a problem. But when you start helping other people, it shifts your focus. And number five, pray and praise daily. Worship realigns your perspective with God. It reminds you that he's in control. We are not. There's nothing bigger than him or beyond him. So today, I don't know if you woke up on a Monday morning and feel like you're having a bad day. I don't know if something happened to you. You got a bad report. If a friend stabbed you in the back, things are rough at work, whatever. I can't change some of that and neither can you. We trust God to do that. But what you can change is your attitude. You got to walk into a work environment that's challenging today. Then I'll tell you what, you walk in with the biggest smile on your face, with the right attitude, praying for your enemies and doing good to them. And watch God do the miraculous in your world. So Father, I pray for every person now who's listening and watching, who they hear this, but maybe this is a struggle for them to put into practice. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct them into all truth. And even when it's a challenge, that you would remind them of these words to make the right choice, fix their attitude. That above all else, maybe I can't please everybody, but Father, I can please you. With maintaining a right attitude, holding my peace. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, thanks for being on with me today. We'll continue this conversation all week this week on Good Morning Live. So go and have an amazing day in God. Remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.